5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, July 23rd on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, Alaska's main Native healthcare organization is set to receive a $400 million settlement from the federal government. But first, there are less sockeye salmon in the Kenai River than expected this summer, only a year after 2025's record run. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game projected another strong run this year, but so far the stock is well below projections. And the department says it's not certain when or if the salmon are going to show up. This week, state sonars are counting about 20,000 Kenai River sockeye per day on average. At this time last year, the same sonars were counting hundreds of thousands per day. And the total run to date was about six times higher last year at this time. July is typically a busy time for sockeye fishing. The department says the peak of the sockeye run usually falls in mid to late July. That's when people from around the state flock to the Kenai River to dip net and sport fish. Patrick Fowler coordinates management of Cook Inlet for the state's sport fish division. At the rate things are going, he says the number of sockeye returning to the Kenai River will be less than what the department predicted, but there still may be good fishing ahead.
So the counts coming in through the in-river sonar have been kind of below what we expected this time of year, but we are still expecting a late run timing, so we're hoping to see those counts pick up anytime in the next few days, ideally, but we're waiting on bated breath.
Fowler says the department could still meet its escapement goals if the run picks up soon, but if the counts stay low, the department may step in to protect the salmon that do return. In the face of low runs, the department could reduce fishing limits or implement other gear and area restrictions. For now, Fowler says the sport fish division is in a, quote, holding pattern. The department doesn't know why the salmon they expected have not shown up.
Yeah, right now we're doing the best with the information we have.
In the meantime, low runs have not deterred anglers from hitting the river. The Kenai River's personal use dipnet fishery is open through the end of the month. Sport sockeye fishing is open in much of the Kenai River. The current per-person limit is 6 sockeye per day and 12 in possession. Full sport fishing regulations can be found on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website at adfg.alaska.gov. The Alaska Division of Elections has moved thousands of registered voters to its inactive list due to suspicion that they are not citizens. State Director of Elections Carol Beecher acknowledged the allegations may be based on very old data. She told legislators at a hearing in Anchorage Wednesday that her agency sent 3,500 letters to Alaskans saying the Division of Motor Vehicles had flagged them as possible non-citizens. Beecher portrayed this as a routine exercise that doesn't take away anyone's right to vote. She says people who got the letter can just check a box to indicate they are citizens or call or email the division.
We are simply asking individuals to confirm because we received information from a verified source that these individuals were not U.S. citizens.
Some of the voters who received the letter went online to check their voter registration and were alarmed to find they'd already been removed. Some contacted their legislators, including Representative Andrew Gray, a Democrat from Anchorage, who raised it with Beecher at a hearing. Two legislators say they were concerned the letters might have been a part of a federal initiative. President Donald Trump has been trying to assert more influence over state elections, warning of fraud that elections experts say is unfounded. Beecher said this is not related to the federal government. Every 3 months, she said, the division checks its voter list against the Division of Motor Vehicles data, looking for people who may have said they were not citizens when they got their driver's licenses. This time, she said, the list they got back was unusually long.
So we understand that some of this is probably very old data where the individuals did not contact DMV, have not updated that they are a naturalized citizen. I believe that people probably don't realize that all of these governmental entities don't necessarily talk to each other.
She said voters who don't respond will remain on the inactive list, but she said they can still vote a questioned ballot. While Gray and other legislators sounded uneasy about the letters their constituents got, Republican Representative Kevin McCabe from Big Lake defended the division's actions, saying it's the agency's job to ensure the voter rolls are clean and correct. And finally, Alaska's main Native healthcare organization is set to receive a $400 million settlement from the federal government for unpaid expenses to provide medical services. The U.S. Department of Justice announced the settlement Tuesday. Aliona Niden with the Alaska Desk reports.
The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium filed a lawsuit in 2021 claiming that the federal government did not fully compensate the organization for administrative costs over 7 years of providing medical services. The settlement follows several U.S. Supreme Court decisions in favor of tribal health contractors like the consortium. Lloyd Miller is a tribal attorney who handled 3 cases involving costs that the government had refused to pay.
To be sure, a significant amount of money is owed the tribes. And the latest settlement you heard about is just one of many settlements that have been achieved throughout the United States over the last 2 years.
The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium provides health services in clinics throughout the state and at the Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage. The organization also runs rural infrastructure projects in villages, including improving water and sewer systems. The consortium entered an agreement with the federal government under the Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act. Under that agreement, the consortium is responsible for providing health care that the federal government would otherwise provide through agencies like the Indian Health Service. The consortium said in its court complaint that the government failed to reimburse administrative costs for health care services between 2014 and 2022, with the exception of 1 year. Natasha Singh is president and CEO of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. She said in a prepared statement that the settlement helps make sure that, quote, resources accurately reflect the true cost of operating a complex tribal health system and advancing self-determination in healthcare, end quote. Singh said the details of the settlement are still being finalized, but it helps the consortium to expand their services for Alaska Native people. Tribal attorney Miller says this and other cases follow a 2024 U.S. Supreme Court decision that the federal government owed money to the Carlos Apache and Northern Arapaho tribes in Arizona and Wyoming.
When the court held that those two tribes had been underpaid, the court was saying that every tribe in the United States that has a contract with the Indian Health Service has been underpaid.
Miller says many tribes have filed or reactivated litigations with the Indian Health Service in the last 2 years. In Anchorage, I'm Alona Niden.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Jake Dye in Kenai, from Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., and from Aliona Niden in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.